The Boston Celtics still rumored to be at the head of the pack for Aaron Gordon. I'm going to talk about it with the host of Locked On Magic here on this Wednesday, Locked On Celtics. Bills, let's go. Rainy days back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my Seas jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the Seas, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. I'm here for you Monday through Friday, so please subscribe to get this show directly to your device every weekday. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics for the Boston Sports Journal. You can subscribe by using the promo code Corrales. You can get $5 off the annual subscription, and that works out to be less than $3 a month. I'm also the author of The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, a book now available for you to buy wherever books are sold online, and on my personal website, johncorrales.com, for a signed, personalized copy if you so wish. Today's show is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in this episode. So, the Boston Celtics still considered the frontrunners for Orlando's Aaron Gordon. Will that include a deal that expands out to Evan Fournier? I still don't know. I just don't know. There are a lot of everybody in the Celtics sphere is trying to figure this out. If it does, then it will certainly need Marcus Smart. If it doesn't, if it's just Aaron Gordon, it could be done for Tristan Thompson and multiple first-round picks, the two first-round picks. That's going to be enough, I think, for the Orlando Magic. So Tristan Thompson plus whatever salary you need to match to get that done, including probably some cash to waive somebody if it's necessary. But personally, I think we're getting closer and closer to Tristan Thompson being dealt. I've been talking about Tristan Thompson being dealt now for probably a month, floating that possibility out there, and it just seems to be getting closer and closer and closer to that. We'll see what happens, but to get the full perspective on these trade rumors, I brought in one of our other local experts on the Locked On Podcast Network, Philip Rossman-Reich, who is the host of the Locked On Magic Podcast. Well, unfortunately, we're speaking under bad circumstances. Normally we would be recapping our game against each other and talking about whatever, but I'm just here to take all of your players.
Okay.
So the rumor
we got
is,
big ones, we got long ones, we got small ones. Which kind of ones do you want?
Well, let's address the rumor that was out there, and that's still kind of out there, that the Celtics are the leaders for Aaron Gordon, and somehow there's an Evan Fournier folded into all of this, which surprised the hell out of me because I didn't think it was going to be both, and it might not be both. It may not be either for all we know. But at this point, the Celtics seem to be the reported leaders in the clubhouse. When you heard the rumor of everything that was reported and potentially Marcus Smart's involvement, what's your initial reaction to the rumor?
I mean, obviously there's been a little bit of a dance between the Magic and the Celtics for some years now. There's kind of been a longstanding interest in Nikola Vucevic as kind of the big prize on the Magic. But I was always a little bit surprised that the Celtics had some interest in Aaron Gordon, just because, you know, I feel like he plays very similarly and kind of the same type of position that Jason Tatum is. Maybe I'm not quite as familiar with how the Celtics use Tatum, but it seems like they're both fours. And that's kind of the same problem the Magic have had with Aaron Gordon throughout the course of his career, is they can't figure out if he's a three or a four. They tried him at a three. That didn't really work. And he's just very clearly a better suited at the four, at the power forward position. And so the first thing that I thought of was, That still seems like a bit of an odd fit. And I think I've read some of the Celtics blogs and some of the Celtics people say, you know, it gets us back to kind of the switching defense that made Brad Stevens so good. And I think I definitely think there's something to that. I've never been completely all out on the Aaron Gordon can play some small forward debate. He just needs the right guy next to him. And you know, like there's a time way back when I thought that he and Tobias Harris were a good match because Gordon could defend threes really well and play the four, and Tobias Harris could defend fours really well and play the three, and they sort of complement each other. So maybe there's, you know, Jason Tatum, much better player than Tobias Harris ever was, certainly when he was with the Magic. But the next thing that I kind of thought of was, okay, like if this is something that the Magic are really looking at, what kind of young rotation players do the Celtics have that the Magic could want? And that's kind of where, you know, there are some guys that I'm interested in that I think that would interest the Magic and kind of fit their timeline and fit the kind of needs that they have. But there's no kind of high level guys that can, you know, at least fill a bench role consistently for the Magic, which is, I think, what I thought they were looking for with Aaron Gordon. And so, you know, maybe that leads to the last conclusion that I had was maybe the Magic have capitulated and they're looking for draft picks, which is something that I for a long time, I did not think the Magic were looking for out of an Aaron Gordon trade. I thought they were looking to kind of reset a little bit, add, you know, obviously someone to match salaries, and then one young guy that can fit into the rotation for next year to get them back in the playoff picture next season.
So, and this is where the reported structure of the deal kind of strikes me as odd. Because I don't see why Orlando would give up Fournier and Gordon to the Celtics for, unless they really covet Marcus Smart. And like, so you get Smart if you really want to target him, and you get two first round picks, which are, you know, protected appropriately, but not picks that will trickle over. I think this is a sentiment that's been out there. One of the Celtics like tweeters, Ryan Bernardoni, makes this point very well. The Celtics have other things that they're trying to do here. Like, this isn't the last deal that Danny Ainge is going to make, and they've got bigger fish that they are targeting. So you can't give Orlando, okay, here's our 2021 pick that's protected top 20. Then it flips over to top 15 protected in 22, and so on and so forth. It's got to be, it conveys this year, or it's 2 second round picks. And the next pick is, if it's 23, then that conveys in 23, or it's 2 second round picks. Like, you can't carry that forward. So if Orlando's okay with that, and Danny Ainge is okay with protecting it to a point that's, where I guess maybe Orlando, whatever Orlando is comfortable with, and Marcus Smart is the absolute target because Orlando says we need a culture setter and we need a guy that's going to come in here and be the heart and soul, because he's considered the heart and soul of the Celtics.
That's what he is.
That's what he is, right? So if they say that's what we want and we're willing to give this up, then I guess it makes sense. But I just figured, if you've got these assets, Aaron Gordon is one, package him up, get what you can. Fournier is one, package him up, get what you can. If you're going to do this fire sale, then, and you want to keep Vooch to build around, then do your fire sale. But whatever. My bottom line here is, I don't see how Fournier and Gordon makes a lot of sense. And my last point, as I continue to ramble, my last point is, it would require Boston, I think, to send Marcus Smart and Tristan Thompson in addition to whatever else goes along. We'll be back to continue this conversation in just a minute, but it's time to hand out the Ultra Player of the Week, brought to you by Michelob Ultra. You know, it's only worth it if you enjoy it, and at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, Michelob Ultra is something you can enjoy, and we know that joy creates success. The Celtics have not been able to find much joy, but they did when Jaylen Brown hit 10 three-pointers against the Orlando Magic. Now, in the loss against the Memphis Grizzlies, Jaylen Brown was still very, very good, but because of that tremendous shooting performance against the Magic, I have to make sure that he is recognized as the Ultra Player of the week. Enjoyment isn't the end game, it is the whole game. And watching Jaylen Brown, especially with that ninth three-pointer that he hit against Orlando, that I tweeted that out if you didn't see it. That was spicy. That one gave me joy. That one gave me happiness for sure. And the question here with Michelob Ultra is, are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? We know the Celtics need to be happier out in the court, and maybe that will translate to some wins. Congratulations to Jaylen Brown for being this week's Ultra Player of the Week. March Madness has returned, and Paramount Plus has the games you won't want to miss. Watch CBS games live on Paramount Plus, including the Final Four and National Championship game on April 5th. Paramount Plus is also the home to year-round sports, including the Masters, PGA Championship, UEFA Championship, Champions League, and the Europa League, the NFL, and more. Tons of sports through CBS and Paramount Plus. Also, breaking news, expert picks, highlights from all of your favorite teams with CBS Sports HQ, a 24/7 sports network. If you want more than sports, this is a full streaming service. Not only do you get CBS programming, Nickelodeon for the kids, Comedy Central, BET, MTV, the Smithsonian Channel. There's a lot of great stuff here for you on Paramount Plus. Visit ParamountPlus.com before March 31st. You've only got about a week left here to receive a one-month free trial of Paramount Plus. That's ParamountPlus.com to receive a one-month free trial of Paramount Plus at ParamountPlus.com.
Be sure to follow our social channels, LO Celtics on Twitter and Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
You know, I've got you covered with all of your Celtics news here on the Locked On Celtics podcast, but you want all of the sports news that's out there, which is why you should be subscribed to the Locked On Today podcast. Get all of the sports headlines in less than 20 minutes with host Peter Bukowski. Follow Locked On Today wherever you get your podcast. Now, let's bring in Philip Rossman-Reich, host of Locked On Magic, to continue this conversation about a rumored trade between the Celtics and the Magic.
When I first saw kind of the structure of that deal, I thought to myself, Marcus Smart and two first-round picks, that's exactly what the Magic want. That's exactly the kind of thing that they're looking for. And honestly, I couldn't imagine getting a player of Marcus Smart's caliber. I mean, a lot of the deals that I've been talking about with Magic fans have been, you know, with Denver for like Gary Harris. And, you know, if they can get RJ Hampton, great. You know, you're talking about a guy that is injured right now, that has played really well in the past, but has dealt with a lot of injuries, and you just don't know what he's going to give you next season. And then a young guy that's, you know, barely scratching rotation. You know, I'm talking with about a deal with like Portland for Robert Covington to match salaries essentially. And then, you know, you may not even use him. You may buy him out and let him go back on the market if he's a free agent, I think. And then Anfernee Simons, you know, a guy who's shown that he can play and needs an opportunity in a rotation somewhere. A lot of Magic fans would say, no, you got to get Gary Trent. And I'm like, Portland ain't giving up Gary Trent in this deal. So
right. To get,
you know, Marcus Smart is a starter in this league. For an Aaron Gordon deal, I am not anticipating that they're going to get a guy who is just very clearly a starter. They're going to have to take a chance on somebody in this deal. And obviously some of it is just trying to get the most of his value, which is right now before he hits the last year of his contract next season. To get a sure starter and two first round picks would be to me, you know, not a king's ransom, but I'd be very pleased with that haul, even if it costs you Evan Fournier, even if you have to take on Tristan Thompson's deal. And I'm sure you could get a third team involved. You know, I think Toronto has been rumored to be after Tristan Thompson. You know, I've run through several iterations where Toronto shuttles Matt Thomas to Orlando or maybe like the young guy on Boston that I think most Magic fans are interested in. And I was very interested in it. The draft process was Aaron Nesmith. You know, maybe you swap a couple young shooters between the teams somewhere. That's what I'm essentially looking for is rotation level player and one young player. So, you know, when I saw Marcus Smart's name come up, because like you said, he is a culture setter. I mean, Magic fans will remember Rob Hennigan wanted to take him second in the draft that Victor Oladipo was in. But Marcus Smart pulled out of that draft. And there's a lot of talk that the year after, the year that the Magic drafted Aaron Gordon, that they were seriously considering taking Smart with the fourth pick, or Smart was one of their options with the fourth pick. He didn't have as good of a season his I believe it was a sophomore year at Oklahoma State. And there's, you know, there's some off court issues, I think, especially with that incident that happened at Texas Tech, which was, you know, certainly I think Marcus Smart's reaction was not as controversial as it as seemed to be at the time. But Marcus Smart was a player that the Magic had their eye on for a long time under the previous regime. He has proven to be every bit as good as everyone thought he was going to be in the draft process, if not even better. And again, he's a guy that, you know, and Boston fans, I would imagine, agree with this. He's the kind of guy that makes sure your team is okay. Especially for where the Magic are now trying to get back in the playoff picture. And again, you have to make a salary decision on him after next season. The Magic just want to be back to okay again next season. And I think Marcus Smart would be perfect to kind of bring along whoever they draft and any young players that they're bringing in to kind of supplement this roster.
Yeah, that's one thing that I think Marcus Smart does very well. And it's one of the things that when he was hurt and I was saying, look, Marcus Smart's coming back. I've talked so much about how much he organizes the team on the floor. People are sick of hearing it at this point.
Steve Clifford would love a guy like Marcus Smart.
Yeah. Yeah, I think most coaches,
every coach would.
Like he's the exact type of guy. Like he calls himself a dog. Like he's that dog on the leash that's like barking to get after somebody. And you're like, let him go to town.
I mean, man, we've talked. I mean, I've talked about it here in Orlando. Like every team that's worth their salt, you know, needs, and this is verging on bad language, needs an a-hole.
Yeah,
they need a guy like we talk about it a lot in Orlando. Like, all the Orlando guys are super nice guys. It's not that they don't play hard. It's not that they don't fight. They don't have a guy that has a little bit of an edge. Like Michael Carter Williams is one of the few guys on this team that gives the team a little bit of an edge. He's going to bark at opponents. He's going to get after the refs a little bit sometimes. And he's always going to be, you know, on the verge of going too far. But honestly, every good team needs a guy like that. That's what pushes teams to be better and kind of wakes them up when they're struggling on a random Tuesday in January.
It's so funny that you say that, because I've been saying that about the Celtics, that Marcus Smart's the only guy on this team that has a chip on his shoulder. And I don't think that trading him away makes a lot of basketball sense. From a basketball perspective, granted, his shooting is down. Like, he's not having the best year, but no one's having their best year overall. I shouldn't say that way.
The season's like, weird. The season weird is weird.
Season. It is a weird season. So Smart, with the injuries and all that stuff, the concern with Smart is this a symptom of the weird season, or is this the beginning of, like, well, this is his absolute peak. He's 27. He's not getting markedly better. He hasn't had like a meteoric rise. He basically is who he is. And it's a matter of, can his shooting remain to a point that's tolerable, that it doesn't hurt the team, because he's a very confident shooter. And some days he's going to shoot the lights out, and some days he's going to shoot you out of a game. And you just accept that, because he'll make up for things a lot of times on the other end. So, okay. So we know that Orlando would love Marcus Smart. And if they get the two first round picks, great. I'm just kind of curious. You've got Vooch, who's 30 years old. If you trade for Marcus Smart, he's 27. This isn't exactly a rebuild necessarily. Like when I looked at it, and I wrote months ago, it's time for Orlando to rebuild. It's time to scrap it and start over.
Everyone's been writing that for 3 years.
Yes. And so to me, this is like, this is it. And on top of everything, that, you know, the timing of everything that's worked its way this way, you've been injuries and everything. So I feel bad for Orlando. I want Orlando to be good. But here you are. And so why keep Vooch and build around him and trade for Marcus Smart, who's 27, when you've got these guys with value and Vooch has value? Why not take all of the swings you can? I don't know how many picks you can get in this year's draft. Probably not many. No one wants to give those up. But like, how many swings at your next young star can you get by trading Vucevic and Fournier and Terrence Ross and Aaron Gordon? Like, I don't understand what Orlando really wants here. When I'm looking for trades that might make sense, my initial feeling was the Celtics can go to Orlando, say, you got to take Tristan Thompson's contract, but here's a pick or two, and here's Romeo Langford or Nesmith or somebody, and some salaries to make it work. Preserve the traded player exception. Just trade for Aaron Gordon. Give you guys those young shooters, young players, some promise and a draft pick or two, and be done with it. Like, I don't understand this particular.
Yeah, move. No, it's fair. You know, I think the Magic are trying to chart a path that goes against kind of what a lot of people think of how a team should rebuild and how a team should build itself. And you know, some of it is the Magic went down the dark path of tanking before. You know, they essentially, you know, right after Dwight Howard left, they made the decision, we're going to blow the whole thing up. We're going to start from scratch. Everyone's gone. Jameer Nelson was gone within a year or two. You know, Glenn Davis, all the veterans were gone within a year or two. JJ Redick was gone within a year. They went down that dark path, and it took them 7 long years just to get to 500 again. And I think they're organizationally, I think there's a little bit of fear of having to go down that dark path again.
Yeah.
Jeff Weltman comes from the kind of Denver, Toronto, you know, he was with Masai Ujiri in Denver and in Toronto. Their philosophy, you know, there were times where even like Masai Ujiri was urged, you got to blow this thing up. You got to start over. And you know, Toronto certainly came close, I think one year as well, but they've always held the philosophy that, you know, teams develop best, young players develop best when they're put in environments where they're expected to win, when they're actually playing for stakes, when they're learning how to compete and play. Because, you know, the one thing about all these tanking teams, it is really hard to break losing habits, and it's really hard to learn how to win.
Yeah.
And so I think part of it is just a franchise reticence, right or wrong. I mean, I think there's arguments on both sides, and certainly the Magic have found themselves back down at the bottom of the standings looking at a top 5 pick. The Magic, I think, just don't want to be in this position again. So the reason why I think they're willing to keep Nikola Vucevic around, or why the asking price for Nikola Vucevic is so high, because I think the Magic are, you know, when someone calls and say, hey, what about Nikola Vucevic? You know, they'll say, make us an offer. What do you think? They'll listen. But I think that price is very, very high because the Magic don't, especially in this Eastern Conference, the Magic don't want to be in, you know, it's better to be in the treadmill of mediocrity. It's better to be Indiana and Portland than, and no offense to Indiana and Portland, but it's better to be them than Minnesota and Sacramento. And especially in a small market, and, you know, again, Orlando's not the smallest market in the league,
right,
but especially in a smaller market, it gets very, very easy to be stuck down at the bottom where you're completely irrelevant.
Back in a minute to wrap up the show with PR Squared. We're going to get to Built Bar Madness right now, because Built Bar is trying to figure out which of their best tasting protein bars is the best tasting protein bar. How do you figure out the best of the best? By putting a bracket together. Now, we know Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber protein bar that's got 100% chocolate on all of its bars. We know that it's good, and it can be used for anybody that's looking to lose weight, maintain weight. It's great for a keto diet. But which is the best? That's why if you go to builtbar.com, you will find the Built Bar Bracket 2021. They are now down to their enticing 8, and we're trying to whittle it down to the flavorful 4. And the first matchup of the flavorful 4 is cookies and cream against coconut almond. These are two tough ones. I feel like everybody's going to go cookies and cream. I'm going coconut almond. I like it. It's kind of like the almond joy. I like almond joys. Now, you call me crazy. I know that's not a popular opinion. That's me. I'm not afraid to go against the grain here. And important things like the Built Bar Madness. Go to builtbar.com or to @bar_built on Twitter to vote and to voice your opinion. Remember, while you're at builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. And make sure you check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. Now, I wish BetOnline could put some odds on this. It's the only thing that they don't have odds on, because they are the fastest, easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. You got NBA really coming down the stretch. March Madness is going on. NHL baseball is coming back. But if you don't want to bet on sports, BetOnline covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on just about anything that you can imagine. Get online, use your mobile device, however you need to do it. Sign up today for free at betonline.ag and get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Whatever it is, $100 that you deposit, you're going to get a $50 welcome bonus from BetOnline. They've got you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets. It's free to sign up. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly.
Make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Celtics wherever you get podcasts or follow us on Spotify.
We're in the middle of the NCAA tournament, which means top prospects are on display. If you want to learn more about those guys, you want to subscribe to Locked On NBA Draft. They've got scouting reports, rumors, mock drafts, full coverage of the tournament 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. Now, let's wrap up the conversation with Philip Rossman-Reich, host of Locked On Magic.
You know, the Magic, I think, are hoping that Jonathan Isaac will be back next season. He's out this year with a torn ACL. You know, he is, as I tell my listeners all the time, he is the one player on this team that has an elite all-NBA skill. I am convinced that this year or next year will be the last year that he will not be on an all-defensive team. Mm-hmm. I think he is that good and that impactful, even when he's still figuring things out. So they're hoping to get Jonathan Isaac back next season. Markelle Fultz should be back at some point next season. And yes, Markelle Fultz has his issues. You know, I'm not saying he's going to be a future all-star or anything, or, you know, I like to say he's never going to be number one overall pick Markelle Fultz again.
Right.
If he can be Ricky Rubio level Markelle Fultz, that's a really good player. Mm-hmm. And that's the guy that I've often compared him to. When people ask me, what do I think Markelle Fultz can be? If he can be Ricky Rubio, that's fantastic. They're hoping to get him back at some point next season. It's not clear if it'll be training camp or by the All-Star break, but hopefully somewhere in between there. And they're heavily invested in those guys. They put the money down on extensions for those guys. Then you're bringing in what's looking like a top five pick, even if it's top six or seven, you're bringing in a high level draft pick that you hope you can build around. So there's your core of young players, Isaac, Fultz, and whoever you draft. For next season, having Nikola Vucevic, who plays a style of basketball that is going to age well. He's not going to suddenly lose his jumper. Having that will keep the team stable and at least give them, if not, you know, give them a puncher's chance of making the playoffs if everything clicks together right. I know it's not the typical path that the team goes down, but they'll be in the same position next year with Nikola Vucevic that they're in with Aaron Gordon this year. And the hope is that by the trade deadline next year or by the end of the summer, they'll know that, okay, our rookie, Jonathan Isaac, those guys are ready to take the lead. That's when maybe they cash in the Nikola Vucevic chip. But for now, I think the goal for the Magic is let's kind of retool ourselves around those four players essentially and try to get back to where we were 2020, 2019, back into the playoff picture, and then figure out where we need to grow from there. And again, maybe if it's a dead end again, they'll trade Vucevic and kind of try and plot a way forward another way.
See, I'm not entirely opposed to that plan. And one thing that I think this highlights is different teams have different priorities. And listeners in Boston have that, if it's not geared towards a championship, then don't do it, right? If you're in a big market and you're analyzing a team, if you're looking at the Lakers or Philly's in a lot of trade rumors trying to get Kyle Lowry, and you give up a Tyrese Maxey and Matisse Thybulle to try to get Kyle Lowry potentially, like you give up future picks to get Kyle Lowry, this is your opportunity to win, right?
The window's open.
Right, yeah. Look at what Brooklyn did. And that's something that other teams won't do necessarily. So I can see Orlando, and I like the idea. I really do like the idea of if Marcus Smart is involved from a Magic perspective, if you get young player plus Isaac plus Fultz to have Marcus Smart there as the veteran, the dog, and to have Vucevic as the guy that's, you know, hey, I wanted to be in Orlando. I didn't ask to leave. That's important. It's like a Jeremy Grant in a way in Detroit, where they've got a bunch of young guys, and to look up and say, hey, this dude signed here. He wants to be here. To have players on that team want to be there in a situation that isn't at the moment ideal, I do think that that's valuable. Now, how valuable is that when you weigh it against assets that you can get? Like, how far can you push the Vucevic trade pick down the road? Because at some point, he loses his value. You basically got maybe one year, and then if it doesn't work, who knows? But anyway, from the perspective of these trade rumors, bringing it back to today, how likely do you see something happening when you look at the rumors and when you see things from all of the things that are around you in Orlando that we don't see in Boston? What's your gut feeling on how this is going to go?
I mean, I think that Evan Fournier is going to get traded. I think expiring contracts, the Magic don't have the space to re-sign him. It doesn't, you know, there's some reporting that he is not interested in re-signing with the team, although Evan Fournier himself disputed that on Twitter today. I see the Magic moving Evan Fournier for what it's hard to tell. Expiring contracts are not as valuable as they once were, especially heading into an offseason where, you know, there's not a lot of great free agents available. So, having his bird rights doesn't really do a ton for anyone. Aaron Gordon having that trade request leak out and then Aaron Gordon essentially confirming it in post game after Tuesday's game against the Denver Nuggets, you know, where he said, you know, he vented a lot of frustration, and a lot of that frustration was from the injuries this season, from the losses that have accumulated over the course of his 7 years in Orlando. It seemed very clear that he's ready for a change of scenery. I was not sold that Aaron Gordon was going to get moved, but over the last few days, I am convinced that Aaron Gordon's also going to get traded. That the market's never going to be greater for Aaron Gordon. The return's never going to be greater for Aaron Gordon. There seems to be enough teams that the Magic can play off of a few offers or pick the offer they like best, and get a deal done. This team, you know, to the point, this team is overdue to turn the page and kind of start a new era. And I think that this trade deadline and this season, where they've dealt with a lot of injuries, but they've definitely kind of topped off a little bit. It feels like it's time, and everyone just seems ready to embrace some change. And so I do think that the Magic will probably be one of the more active teams at the deadline. One guy we haven't talked about is Kem Birch. I think the Magic will move Kem Birch too, if anything, just to give Mo Bamba a clearer path to minutes. Which he desperately needs, just to kind of just figure out if he can play at all or not, which is not clear at this point, in his third year in the NBA. So I think the Magic will move. I think the Magic will honestly move all three, whether again it's in one deal or Kem Birch is thrown into another deal to help move things along. I think all three get dealt before Thursday's deadline.
Well, it's going to be an interesting next however many hours, really. And just the bottom line is, The Celtics package that you see is acceptable to you.
Yes. Yeah. The Marcus Smart and two firsts, however they're protected. I think that's the kind of gamble the Magic are looking to take, and they're not going to find a better player than Marcus Smart available to them. Again, even if Portland put Gary Trent Jr. on the table, I think Gary Trent, just for youth's sake, probably would be the deal that I would take, but Marcus Smart is the better player.
Right. Well, we'll see. We're going back and forth. Now, Matt Moore, who originally reported this, didn't say in the initial report that Smart was going to be in the deal. It was that he potentially could be, and then he tweeted out on Tuesday that he doesn't think at the moment Marcus Smart would be in it if it happened. So a lot of couching going on left and right. I wouldn't be surprised if a smaller deal gets done. This could be so much posturing that, you know, the Magic could be like, oh yeah, we'll put Evan Fournier in this deal for Gordon. People are like, whoa.
I'll note this, that the Magic are notoriously tight-lipped. Like no one, even in Orlando, no one can get a word out of them.
Yeah.
Whenever I see a report or rumor out there, I just generally assume it's not from the Magic.
Right. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what pans out. Somebody's going to be dealt somewhere, and we're going to figure it out. Philip Rossman-Reich, thank you very much for hopping on the show for a bit.
No problem. Thanks, man.
All right, good conversation. Good to get the other side's perspective. It's so important when you're talking about a trade to get the other side's perspective so we know, what are you looking for? What do you want? That's important. So it's pretty clear. They will accept two draft picks and Tristan Thompson plus salary filler will get it done. Two draft picks for Marcus Smart if it includes Evan Fournier. Then they'll take Tristan Thompson. They'll take those other guys too. I think fans down there are just ready to, you heard Philip say it, they're just ready to move on and get the next iteration of this team. Obviously targeting Marcus Smart, not great for Boston, but would be great for Orlando because they need a culture setter down there in a big way. And if I was looking at it from the outside in and seeing that they were targeting Marcus Smart, I think that would be huge. It'd be a great get for them. But Boston obviously would love to keep him. I've been saying for a while now, if you're new to the podcast, I have been saying, go back and listen to some of the old podcasts. Tristan Thompson, when it's clear that the Celtics were looking to stay under the luxury tax, it became clear that Tristan Thompson's salary was very, very movable. And now you hear some of the rumors that maybe the Celtics are kind of the bloom is off the rose, so to speak, and him being in the COVID protocol. I don't think it's any coincidence that he entered the protocol after he was photographed at a party. I think it's a hell of a coincidence if it is, but I don't know that they even want or need him. It's pretty obvious that single big is the way to go. No need to force the double big thing. It's good option to have when you go up against big teams, but right now the Celtics need to their offense to flow. If they get Aaron Gordon, then they can kind of do a pseudo double big because he can play the four, but they can play like a hybrid sort of way. I think that Tristan Thompson can go. I think Tristan Thompson can get them Aaron Gordon if they attach those two picks. If they're willing to give those two first round picks, you do it with the protections I talked about earlier. If that's what the Celtics are willing to do, I don't think they should, but if they're willing to do it, fine, I guess. You attach an Aaron Nesmith or whatever to make that happen, maybe a Carson Edwards as a flyer or a guy that Orlando can waive, that's fine. Get that deal done. That helps the Celtics short term, helps them a little bit long term. It fits everything that they need. They could preserve the TPE, carry that into the summer, and then move forward from there. I think that's the way to go. I still don't think that the expanded Evan Fournier deal is the way to go, but if they do pull it off, let's see. Let's see how they do it. So we'll be following it, obviously. If there's breaking news, I'll hop on as soon as I can to do a kind of quick reaction podcast for you. And, of course, follow my writing on Boston Sports Journal, where I will be breaking everything down for you. Subscribe if you're new, please. Get this show to your device 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. You regular listeners, you know I love the fact that you're here daily or most days of the week. Thank you so much for that. If you could, a 5-star rating and a good written review really helps draw in more people, and the more people that listen, the more I get paid. This is a free show for you, but the more people I get listening, the more I end up getting paid. So that's why I ask for these things. It is really helpful. So thank you very much. Thank you for listening, and thank you for sharing the podcast and telling people that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Thank you for making Locked On Celtics the number one Boston Celtics podcast on the planet.